Hello, hello. This is Interneted. I'm Michael Bird.
Hello, I'm Rob Murgatroyd.
And welcome to our show about tech, gadgets and the internet by a couple of enthusiastic blokes who are always being asked how to fix most of it. Isn't that right, Rob? And by that, I mean that we're enthusiastic.
Oh, we're so enthusiastic today. The sun is shining. Life is good.
The tank is clean.
Exactly. So I'm up for it. Welcome everyone to our show. We'll like to keep you informed with all the latest tech news and also the coolest and most interesting things from around the internet. We're not just news. We show you everything.
Not just news.
Some people have said, I mean, in passing to me, that they like to think of this show as their indispensable guide for everything worth knowing on the internet. We didn't ask them to say that. They just happened to mention it. So you know what? You might think of it as like that as well.
Yeah, feel free to. So, buckle up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show from two blokes in our spare bedrooms. This is Interneted.
Alrighty. Well, as always, we will kick things off with our weekly tech roundup. Each week, we'll both be bringing the most interesting bits of news from around the world of tech. We sift through the Beanswave microwaves and Nokia Windows microwaves of the world, so you don't have to. Very microwave themed this week for me.
Yeah, what's the Nokia Windows microwave? Is that Nokia also then running Windows?
So you know the old Nokia phones that used to run Windows? Imagine that scaled up into a microwave. So it's a big bright yellow microwave with a touch panel on the side which ran Windows operating system. What an incredible device.
I'm in. I just wanted to make sure I left a bit of space for that. Yeah. Well, should I tell you about some news?
Yeah.
Should I go first? Or do you want to go first? Should I go first?
I feel like you always go first. So why break tradition?
why break tradition?
Exactly.
Yeah. Is it tradition or is it that I'm heavy-handed and I elbow myself to the front of the queue?
It's just that you're first on the script.
okay, fine. Right, well, you know, one of my favourite topics to cover on this episode that's loosely about the internet is space.
Yes.
So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Richard Branson.
You did.
Not to be confused with Richard Branston. His
Sorry,
company...
You can't skip over Richard Branson. Is he the inventor of Branston Pickle?
Yeah, I assume so.
Is he equally as wealthy as Richard Branson?
Yeah, he's like the Monopoly man.
Or did he spread himself too thin?
Oh, he's like Scrooge McDuck. But instead of diving into a pool of coins, he dives into a pool of Branston beans, pickle, and other things that Branson make, all mixed together.
Lovely. What a man.
True story. Anyway, Richard Branson owns a company called Virgin Galactic, and a couple of weeks ago he took to space, although not space, if you ask Jeffrey Bezos.
Space adjacent, I think.
Near to space.
Yeah.
But he did experience weightlessness, so maybe that does count. The idea is it's going to be space tourism, because the one thing that we need in a climate emergency... people flying to space.
Absolutely. It's the only way to fly.
Well, and not just people, I guess rich people, because they have announced the ticket price to go to space. Rob, close your eyes, don't look at the script. How much are the tickets for flying to space?
I'm going to imagine a wild old guess.
What's
the average first class flight?
I don't know. £15,000?
Yeah, a couple of thousand. Let's say it's £50,000 to go to space or edge of space.
£50,000?
£50,000?
You are incorrect, but that's okay because I think you're playing. I think you're playing for it because you have the quote right in front of you. The script right in front of you.
I did not see that. I definitely didn't see.
So it is £450,000. Originally, it was going to be £200,000. And you could have bought your ticket for £200,000, but they closed the sales. They've reopened them. Sneaky. It's now £450,000.
Have they explained why the extra money has increased? You get an in-flight entertainment now.
Maybe that's it. Yeah, maybe it's to pay for the in-flight meal. So, and each flight will take 4 lucky passengers 53 miles for a few minutes of weightlessness. And so there we go.
You're not selling it to me, I'll be honest with you.
No, I mean, if you want to experience weightlessness, go in one of those, the Vomit Comet things, which I think is tens of thousands of pounds to do that.
Can't you experience weightlessness in a pool? Aren't they like,
you know what? Just go to your local pool. Go to the local pool in Marlow. Where is it? It's in the park. Higginson Park pool in Marlow.
Or if you'd rather, just go to the river. Jump in the Thames.
Don't jump in the Thames. Have somebody watching you. Don't jump in the Thames. Dear listeners, don't jump in the Thames. Rob, that was bad advice. Go to a pool where there are lifeguards and experience weightlessness.
You could do
in
that.
The pool. Yes. So yeah, there we go. So crack on, I guess.
So are they available now? Could I go on to?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
How many are you going to take? One for me, one for you?
I thought we might as well do the whole four.
With the Murgatroyd, the Murgatroyd fortunes.
with a flight like that, you don't really want someone right next to you, so I might as well buy all 4 seats, and then we can have 2, and then the other ones would be empty.
Yeah. Would we not invite our other halves?
Nah,
okay, just you and me. Yeah, no, fair play. Yeah. But are you sure there's no space on it?
No. It's 2.
It's two. It's just a 2 people thing. But there are 2 seats. Oh, they're backups.
Well, we've got to have someone to put our carry-on luggage, haven't we?
Luggage. Yeah, exactly. So there we go.
Wonderful. Well, I'll be booking that right after the show. Very exciting.
Apparently, they have a backlog of 600 ticket holders who have to fly first. And apparently 1,000 prospective customers who've placed £1,000 deposits will be next in line. So,
right.
Yeah. But there's quite a jump from £1,000 to £450,000.
Yes.
So yes, we'll see how that works.
Lovely.
Okay.
Well,
Rob, what's next?
I have something, and the article title that I'm reading is, "Oh, hey, Xiaomi has its own creepy robot dog now." Just the news that everyone was really hoping for, I think, this week.
That's the news that we needed this week, wasn't it?
It really is. After all the sadness in the news this week, it's all about Xiaomi's creepy robot dog. So yeah, this is the news that Xiaomi, one of my probably favourite Chinese Android phone manufacturers.
Yeah,
because they like making things that are a bit different. They like pushing the boundary. And
no, they don't. They like to copy other people.
In this instance, I can see why they might have copied other people. But otherwise, in their phones, they do try to innovate. But this is essentially, if anyone's seen it, the Boston Dynamics robot dog. I think they call it Spot. This is essentially just the same thing, but much smaller.
But it looks much smaller.
It is smaller, and probably. I mean, I haven't tried it, but it's probably less robust than the Boston Dynamics one. Obviously, we've all seen the videos of people trying to kick the Boston Dynamics dogs over, all the robots teasing them, and they don't fall over very easily. I'm not sure about the Xiaomi one. They haven't released a video of them trying to push this one over.
Hitting it with a hockey stick.
Hockey puck, I believe.
Hockey puck stick. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool, though.
There's a photo in the article, and the guy is wearing... He looks very like hip and cool.
He does.
He's wearing... rolled up jeans. I don't mean to address his fashion choice, so I shan't. But it was probably the most surprising part of the article.
You like the jeans, did you? That's fair. I mean, other details. They say that the technology is capable enough for the cyberdog, as it's called, to follow its owner and navigate around obstacles. So if you want something to follow you around, You can. It's also capable of identifying posture and tracking human faces, enabling it to pick out and track individuals in a group. So again, if you want something to follow you, this is potentially that thing. Although, sadly...
Or tie a balloon to your belt loop. Those are the 2 options, really, aren't they?
you could also do that. Unfortunately, this isn't going to be commercially available, which is heartbreaking. This is going to be sent out to Xiaomi fans, so I'm here hoping because I'm one of those people. If they listen to this podcast, please send me a robot dog. I'd love it to follow me around all day, I guess. But even then, when I say send it out to those people, they'll have to pay around $1,500 for the little dog.
Well, you know what? If they do get in contact with you and we need funding, you know who we can fall back on, the sponsorship money from the John Lewis Refrigeration Department.
I mean, will they want to sponsor both of us while we have a robot dog? I mean, I know the fridge department, you know, they're very keen on us just mentioning fridges rather than robot dogs.
Yeah, listeners, that's a callback to a previous episode where we joked that we were sponsored by the John Lewis Fridge Department. We are not sponsored by the John Lewis Fridge Department, but sponsorship options are open.
We're definitely open to it if they're interested.
Specifically the Fridge Department. Yeah, okay. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I guess robots, they're going to be coming anytime. You know, we're going to be getting robots at some point.
Can you see it fitting into your daily life? I know you like running. Would you like having a robot dog companion to keep track? Maybe it could track your runs better or keep you motivated, bark at you every time you stop or slow down.
No is the answer to that. Okay. I think I'd like an actual dog to come running with me.
It's probably a cheaper alternative as well.
Yeah, much cheaper. And I think an actual dog is probably better than a robot dog. I don't know what would you use a robot dog for? Mowing the lawn? I don't know.
Currently it doesn't do anything other than walk around. I guess it's showing off. I guess after you've taken your flight to space, you want to be greeted by a host of robot dogs, which are patiently waiting for you back on Earth.
You and all your friends, the robot dogs.
Exactly.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, well, I probably we'll keep an eye on the robot dog news. Okay, well, in other news that are somewhat related, so do you know what the Tesla Cybertruck is?
Have you heard of it? I have heard of it.
Can you describe it to me?
This is the brand new, I guess.
It is the brand new.
The brand new truck from Tesla. So I think it's the world's largest, electric powered truck. But it's also one of the strangest designed trucks. So
yeah.
It's very futuristic. It's sort of sheets of metal, but not really styled. It's sort of like how you would draw a car back in the old school days in primary school, where you just sort of...
I think I would describe it as when you and I used to play games when we were much younger, and the graphics quality wasn't particularly good, and they were... it's raced in polygons, isn't it, graphics?
Low polygon.
And it was very low polygon count, so there's lots of sharp edges. Mm. And in episode one, we talked a little bit about Lara Croft and her kind of triangular-looking face. It's a bit like that. If Lara Croft had a matching truck,
it is like that.
It's all just very angular, very like, it's just weird looking.
It's a callback to the old days of PlayStation graphics. Yeah, that's a very good description.
I don't know if it's, I don't even know if I like the look of it. Anyway, it's a strange looking car. Well, the other thing that Tesla are well known for, I guess Elon Musk is well known for, is setting not so realistic targets for when stuff is going to happen. Mm. So I think back in the early 2000, 2010s, I think he said it was going to be at Mars by 2020. That hasn't happened yet. So one of the things that he said was that if you ordered a Cybertruck when it was announced, I think it was announced 2 or 3 years ago, you would be able to have them delivered by 2021. That is no longer happening. It's been delayed until 2022, which isn't surprising because it looks unlike any other car I've ever seen. There must be so many things that have to be figured out.
I was going to say, I think that they're also probably trying to figure out some of the issues that they demonstrated at the product launch for the Cybertruck. Did you see the product launch, the announcement from Elon Musk?
Yeah, what problems do they have?
The on-stage demonstration. So they were very excited about their new glass. So the windows and the windshield had brand new glass, I think they quoted it as bulletproof, and they wanted to do a demonstration on stage.
And they smashed it.
So they got a guy to throw a rock at the window, and Elon was like, watch this. Smashed straight away. And he's like, oh, that didn't quite go to plan. Let's try the other window. Threw the rock. Smashed. So they're probably just ironing out those little kinks.
Well, like, it doesn't... there's the kind of Euro NCAP crash test thing.
Yeah.
And, like, part of it is hitting pedestrians. And it's got to, like, crumple if it hits a pedestrian so it doesn't kill them. It looks a little bit like it would just... It's like a wedge shape. So I imagine if it hit a pedestrian, they would just fly over the roof.
It looks like it's designed to hurt rather than to crumple.
It looks like something that would have been on Robot Wars.
It does.
And would have like a flipper at the front.
Yes.
That's exactly what it looks like.
It would
like.
Have done well on that, I reckon.
It would have done... I mean, it would have... Compared to the size of the other ones, it would have crushed it. Yeah. Okay. So that's the Cybertruck. So apologies, Cybertruck fans. I know there are many... literally tens of Cybertruck fans listening. So apologies. But you're going to have to wait until next year.
Sad times. Very sad for some people.
Very sad times.
Well, something that's coming out this year is a recently announced and confirmed the Google Pixel 6. So this is Google's very own phone. They like to manufacture their own phones, which runs the base version of Android. So rather than getting corrupted by all the other Android phone developers out there, they like to build their own phones and have it run base Android. But the most interesting thing about this Pixel 6, which I think is coming out in September or October, is that it will now use a chip which has been developed and built by Google themselves. It's called the Tensor chip. And people are saying this is potentially stepping into the realms of what Apple have been doing with their own chips. So I think this is probably the first time we'll have seen a phone or any device really powered by a Google built and designed chip. So some people are saying this could be even more powerful than Apple's chips, or maybe less powerful. Those are the options, really. Or maybe equally as powerful.
Equally powerful. Well, three options.
In an unusual circumstance, it could be any of those. So it's quite exciting. We haven't really seen this before. And I'm not necessarily... It's not necessarily going to convince me to buy the phone if I was in the market for it. But I think it's quite interesting. They could then, if it does well, they could take it and, as Apple have done, put it into laptops. They could put it into a Chromebook or a fully fledged laptop. Or a smartwatch or anything really. So I think it's quite interesting just to see how powerful this could be and how efficient it can be, because we've seen the success of the Apple chips recently.
And the Tensor chip is a SoC, isn't it? On a chip. So it's a little bit like what Apple have done, where they don't just put the kind of the brains of it, they chuck in a load of other things. So like I think Apple have put in like a camera processor, for example, like a specific little module that just does stuff for the camera. And I'm assuming like everyone else is doing, jumping on the AI bandwagon.
Of course.
I mean, Tensor is something I've heard in the world of AI. So I'm assuming there's going to be some sort of AI specific chip on that.
They will have AI specific chip section, and they will also have, I think they've got a security specific chip on there
again,
as well. Which
like
they've
Apple
interestingly
has.
Called the M2. So coming out with the M2 before Apple have.
That's interesting. Oh, that's I like that. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's good, isn't it? To see chip manufacturer, see companies coming up with their own
definitely
SoCs. I think it's quite cool. Quite a cool development.
If it works well, then it's good for everyone.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, do you remember earlier in the year I mentioned there's a company called Razer who are well known for many things, but really mainly RGB stuff, isn't it? They just make stuff, then they go, yeah, they're not this needs. More RGB, which stands for red, green, blue. And it's really the shorthand for multicolored lights.
Yes.
That people stuff into their gaming PCs and keyboards.
It's the quintessential gamer look, isn't it? Having RGB everything.
RGB. Even better if it's like, just all the colors. There's no sense of design. Just every color. It's like a packet of Skittles has exploded over your computer.
Although some people have said that different colors, if you pick one specific color, it does different things for your computer. So red gives you more performance, so faster performance in games.
Blue keeps it cool.
Exactly. Green is more sustainable, obviously, for the environment. Requires less power.
Environmentally friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. I like that. I think that's exactly how it works. Anyway, Razer, who make all the RGB stuff, amongst other things, they came up with this thing called Project Hazel. Mm. And Project Hazel, if you remember, was a face mask that they developed. A little bit worried it might be a little bit too late. But anyway, let's keep going with this. They developed a face mask. And it was a face mask that had a clear front to it, with lights so you could see your your mouthies, little microphone inside and speakers on the outside. So you could basically hold a conversation very, very easily.
Yes.
And then it looked very, looks very cyberpunk, I would say.
Very cyberpunk, very futuristic and kind of, I don't want to say pointless at this point, but a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure this will come back to bite us because, you know, there might be a further requirement for masks. Mm. But it does feel, perhaps it might be obsolete, but we'll hold that for, you know, I'm sure. Well, who knows? Face masks might become the norm during the winter periods.
I know a lot of people that will certainly still continue to wear face masks, even though they're no longer required. So I'm sure they're something that some people are very interested in.
So, okay. So let's put aside the value of the product. That's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the tech. That's what we're interested in.
Oh, yeah.
We obviously don't want to get too political. So, you know, keep it lighthearted. So anyway, Project Hazel is now a product that it was becoming closer to a product you can buy, and they now call it the Razer Zephyr. Zephyr. I assume it's a word that is really hard to say when you're wearing a mask, which is maybe why they picked it.
You can't really lip read that one, can you? What you
can't really lip read Zephyr. Yeah. You need this mask. So if you say Zephyr behind a mask. And apparently you can sign up to test the device. Before it is launched later this year. So there we go. And now, as a reminder, so it's a high-tech face mask with built-in RGB lighting. Remember, that's red, green, blue. It's the multicolored lighting. It uses red lights, green lights, and blue lights it uses a combination of those lights to make different colors. An active air filtration system that Razer has claimed is as effective as an N95 mask. We all remember the N95 mask. Oh, no one could buy them. They're all out of stock at the beginning of the year, last year, sorry. And so they are planning to manufacture this mask. So, yeah, there we go.
It's a thing. And
what a sign of the times.
It's getting closer.
It is.
I'm quite excited to see what happens when it's actually fully released. You know, how many people are actually going to be out and about wearing these things? Can you imagine seeing Boris Johnson popping one on?
keep it light. I can imagine. I think it would look really good with somebody like graffitiing, because you know they cut sometimes graffiti artists wear those masks. I think it would kind of look quite cool for that.
Oh yeah, it would be cool at night time. It's definitely a nighttime
black hoodie
thing.
And like, you know, like purple light.
Oh, you know, it would go well with it. It's one of those Sony neck speakers, fully yeah. kitted out.
The old Sony neck speaker. That's what the kids are wearing.
Who isn't wearing one of those?
Oh, I don't know. And if you're not wearing it, you're missing out. The old Sony neck speakers.
Wonderful.
Oh, Sony. Right.
Oh, right. So my last interesting bit of tech news from this week was that... let me ask you a question. How much would you pay for a video game? What's the most amount you would pay for a video game?
I mean, I'm really annoyed that video games now are consistently over... £60. Mm-hmm. Like, that is frustrating.
Yep.
If I see a video game that's near to £80, I'm like, oh, goodness sake, I'm just not interested. It really annoys me.
Okay. So your upper limit is £80, are you saying?
You know what? I won't buy it. I will wait until it's reduced in price and buy it on eBay or wait until it's on sale. £50 I think is my limit.
£50. Okay. Well, someone has gone slightly above that.
Okay.
So slightly.
Okay.
So a copy of Super Mario Bros. For the Nintendo Entertainment System was recently sold for $2 million.
Was it sealed in a box?
It was, of course, sealed. A never-opened copy of Super Mario Bros., which was the very first Super Mario game, which is a record-breaking sale price. The previous record was $1.56 million at auction, so this is now $2 million. I don't know what makes this one so much better than that previous copy.
Maybe it's a better condition.
Could be better condition. So this was a video game from 1985.
Wow.
So it's a pretty old game, and it was obviously started a legacy of Mario Bros. From there. So I can understand why some people might want to have it to a collection. But $2 million is a lot of money.
That is a lot of cash. Wow. So what? You don't play it, do you? I presume you keep it sealed in the box and you enjoy it from a distance.
You do. You keep it as part of
these are one of those ones where you can't keep it in a room with like bright lights because the UV will deteriorate.
You probably have to keep it in a temperature controlled room with special glass around it and all sorts of special things going on.
Which does beg the question, why?
Why? You pose a very good question, but someone willing to do it. Apparently it was bought by someone called Rally, who buys games and other collectibles like comic books.
It reminds me a little bit of the NFT, you know, the non-fungible tokens, those things that we talked about earlier in the series, where it was they're basically like you're paying for a digital, like a digital copy of something that is supposed to be unique just to you. However, you can also go and access that, you know, like the first tweet on Twitter, like you are the owner of that, but the first tweet will still be available on Twitter for everyone else. Like Super Mario, I can go and you know, buy it on a Game Boy or get an emulator
everyone can access Super Mario. It's probably been a Google Doodle at some point.
Has probably been a Google Doodle.
Actually, it does say why they've bought it. So Rally, they like to buy games and other collectibles like comic books, and they turn them into small companies that people can purchase shares in. So it's like an investment that people can contribute to, and then when they decide to sell it on, they all share in the profits, which is not something I'd known was existing.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. But anyway.
So it's not really for enjoyment. This is a business move, which is far business. Less exciting now.
Cold, revealed cold. Yeah, fair enough.
Cold hard cash.
All right. So, Rob, are you a fan of Star Wars?
I am.
Do you like Star Wars?
I am a fan of Star Wars. I've seen it once or twice.
Which is your favourite? Episode.
Episode. I quite like Episode 7.
I thought you were going to say Episode 2. I've heard that one is quite a lot of just, it's mainly just admin.
Episode 2 is admin. There's a lot of CGI in Episode 2. Some people weren't a fan of that. But as a kid, I thought it was fantastic.
I read on the internet, there's one episode where it was like, it says around the time of Brexit. I know, we need to keep it light. But it was like, if you like international trade agreements, you should see Star Wars Episode 2 because they're mainly talking about trade agreements.
They are talking a lot about trade agreements in that one. The Trade Federation is a big part of it and negotiating deals. So you learn a lot of economics in that film. It's a multifaceted film, that one.
Yeah, it's big. Anyway, so Star Wars, as you may well know, the property of Star Wars is owned by a little old company called Disney.
Oh,
and they've been accused of, milking different franchises, movie franchises, for all they're worth. And well, let's put it this way, Star Wars is no exception to it. Actually, I mean, it's not fair, they're not milking it for all it's worth. I think what they've created is actually pretty cool. So what they have created is called the Galactic Star Cruiser, and it is a hotel that you can stay at, and the cost I have here for a two-night voyage, it's going to give it away, is $4,809. Now, let me tell you, this is what happens, right? You turn up at the Walt Disney World Resort terminal, and you'll board a launch pad, and you'll rendezvous with a Halcyon. I assume this means something to somebody, so I'll keep going. And basically, what happens is you turn up for a voyage, and I think it's as if you are on a ship of some sort and on a star cruiser.
Yep.
And you basically go on you stay in this hotel, but you kind of have an experience.
Right.
So they've called it Story Moments, and you'll play a real life choose your own adventure game.
Wow.
And you can decide how the story unfolds. For instance, you can choose to follow the First Order or join the resistance, whatever that means. Or you can join a smuggling ring and aid a stowaway.
Now, which one would you choose out of those three options, Michael?
Well, presumably the stowaway would have to stay in your room. And if, you know, if it was a romantic getaway, it would be a bit of a, and me, like, go away.
I'm playing Star Wars.
And apparently you can have lightsaber lessons. I'd be disappointed if you couldn't take lightsaber lessons.
Oh, yeah.
And you can go on missions to delve deeper into the story.
Wow.
And each trip on the Star Cruiser will be one of a kind. So, of course, you can go more than once. Now, this reminds me a little bit of when I did the Crystal Maze in London, which was... Did you do that? Were you there for the Crystal Maze?
That was pre-me, pre-me.
Oh, well, you missed out. I'm so sorry you missed out. I did the Crystal Maze in London, and it was so cool. It was so, like, immersive. I felt like I was on the TV show. So if it's anything like that with, like, proper actors who guide you through it, I think actually that would be pretty cool, especially if you're big into Star Trek or Star Wars or whatever.
Whichever one that is. Which is very cool. You know, I think it would be even cooler is if they mixed it with Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic. And you went into went into Edge of Space and experienced
that. You know what? There is a business there that I think will come around not far after. Like some sort of experience.
That's the proper space Star Wars role-playing experience. There you go. You have watched it.
I have watched it.
Pretend that you haven't.
I had a face painted like Darth Maul once.
Oh wow.
So
it's taken quite a while. That's a full face mask, isn't it?
I mean, when I was 10 or something. So it probably wasn't, you know, I probably thought it looked amazing when I was 10. But if I look back at photos, it's probably just like somebody slapped a little red paint on my face and I thought, "Oh, I'm like Darth Maul." He had the lightsaber with pointed out in both ends.
He did. That was cool. It was a big thing back in the day when that was revealed.
That was a big thing.
I mean, it's still a big thing now.
Would you go on the Galactic Star Cruiser to... Money aside, obviously, you'd go on...
I was going to say, I think if the John Lewis Fridge Department wanted me to check out the Star Cruiser immersive experience, then I would happily go along.
Wait. You and I should go together. That would be so much fun, wouldn't it?
Obviously, we would go. Yeah.
Yeah. Fine, okay. What would we do? Would we join the First Order?
I think we might join the Resistance.
Who's the Resistance? The goodies.
Resistance are the good guys. I think you're too much of a good guy to not do that.
Thank you. Yeah. Whenever if I ever play like Fallout or other games, I can't help but like be very.
Oh, I'm absolutely the same. Whenever I'll do that, absolutely every time on my first run through of a game. And then the second time through, I'm like, I know, I'm going to try it. I'm going to see what the other options are. I'm going to be a bad guy this time. I'm going to say mean things to people. And then I get to it and I go, I can't be mean to them. They're too nice.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
I don't want to do that to them.
What if a person who I don't know particularly well comes over and starts playing my version of Fallout and they've realised I've been really mean to all the characters? What will they think of me is my thought process entirely.
I don't want to be judged. Someone
what if Rob comes over and realises, you know...
How could you make that choice? You've hurt someone there.
That's exactly it, yeah.
So we'd definitely be the good guys, unfortunately.
Okay, we'll be the good guys when we go to the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel.
Lovely.
Okay, all right. Rob, have you got anything else you want to talk about?
Nah.
Or is that everything on the internet this week?
That is everything, apart from the things we're going to talk about next on the internet this week.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. But that's everything...
It's everything newsworthy.
Everything newsworthy, yeah, fine. Okay, all right, well, we'll be back with part two of Interneted right after this.
Well, it's time for us to start the part of the show that we like to call...
Here are the cool things we have found on the internet this week.
Oh, yes.
Welcome
back.
Oh,
I've missed it. Turn up your volume, everyone. Just really feel that music.
What track listing would that be on our upcoming album?
I don't think it could be the headline. I don't think we could put it as number one.
We don't want to open with that. Slightly weaker, a weaker track. This is the...
It'll probably be our cover of Jeffrey Bezos at number one.
Yeah, that is exactly
a cappella.
Well, as the name of this feature suggests, we have been weeding through the web, navigating the net, scouring search engines, ransacking Reddit, going from A to B on HTTP, getting fitter by using Twitter, getting our fix of Netflix, having an oogle of Google, looking at a ream of memes, a throw of DuckDuckGo, and a regroup of YouTube. Rob, what would we do if we want to do something with LinkedIn? Have a skim of LinkedIn, beat to it, and a skim of LinkedIn.
It's quick
to find the coolest things on the internet for you, dear listener. Rob, my main man, what are the rules?
What up, my dude? Well, as you know, Michael, the rules for this segment are pretty rigorous.
They are
this.
Yes.
If you can find it on the internet, you're allowed it in. You can put it in.
Okay.
That is it. That is our big rule for this section. Anything and everything goes
big
on this
rules.
Section.
Big rules.
It could be a funny video. It could be an interesting fact, a cool song, or potentially a new book that you might want to read. We basically look through everything on the internet, which is quite a time-consuming job. I'm not going to lie.
But we do it.
We do it for you. We do it for you, dear listener.
I think it's important that we don't enjoy it.
No, this is our full-time job. We sit there 9 to 5 going through the whole internet to find the coolest thing each.
Funded by the John Lewis Fridge Department. That's how we pay to be able to do it.
What a life we lead when you think about it.
Okay.
What have you seen through your hours and hours of scouring?
Well, you know how we say that television counts as the internet because you can watch it on an internet service?
Absolutely, yes. Anything goes.
Well, I'm using that rule to the maximum. All right, so there's a television show that I can highly, highly recommend.
Okay.
And it is a three-part TV drama called Time on BBC One, and it's starring Stephen Graham, who's from... you would have seen him in Line of Duty. I don't know who he played in Line of Duty. Okay. He played somebody very important in Line of Duty.
I didn't watch it, so don't be asking.
Pete Graham.
Did you call him Pete? Yeah, Pete.
Yeah.
Pete from Line of Duty.
Old Pete. Sean Bean, a.k.a. Sean Bean. follows a guy called Mark, played by Sean Bean, who gets put into prison in the UK. And it really just explores... keep it light, Michael. Keep it light.
Sounds great.
It really explores the world of prison life in the UK. And why I found it really interesting was I think most prisons that I see depicted in TV shows and movies are American prisons. Like, that's kind of my only real...
Yeah.
The only time I've ever been exposed to prisons is through, Shawshank Redemption or things like that.
Yeah.
Never really seen a prison, British prison. Now, whether or not this is particularly accurate, I don't know. But even if it isn't, even if it's just, 1% there, it feels like a totally different world to an American prison. And basically, it explores this guy who, he went to prison for a crime that was really bad. He's really guilty about it. He's really conflicted in prison. He's kind of asked to do things he doesn't want to do. But does he have to do them to survive? It's just a really, really well-made show. It's a three-part series, as I said. And I have to say, Sean Bean in it, he is an incredible actor.
He really is,
He plays it so well. And Stephen Graham, who's also the other person in it, he plays it really, really well. And the supporting cast around him, the different prisoners, they do a fantastic job. So it's called Time. Oh, you're going to prison for time. I can highly recommend it. It's absolutely brilliant.
Fantastic. I definitely would want to check that out. I always find with Sean Bean, he's notorious for dying on screen in almost everything he appears in. So he never quite gets the screen time that I think he deserves because he is a great actor.
He is.
So I'm hoping that in those three episodes he sticks around.
I'm not going to give it away what happens. But he is, a great actor.
Lovely. Well, mine is very short and sweet, actually.
All right.
So I was on Reddit, browsing Reddit, as I often find myself doing, and I saw a very interesting picture. And this was on the subreddit of r/thatsinsane, and this pretty insane. So this is a picture that someone took of a Navy fighter jet in America, and this plane was photographed breaking the sound barrier. Now you might think that is impossible. How can you photograph sound? But someone in the comments explained it, and I'm taking their word for it wholeheartedly because that's what you do on the internet. They say that the image that you see is caused by light refracting because of the density differences in the air. So what you actually see, it looks as though it's passing through a physical sound barrier, which is what I always imagined as a kid. It's like a barrier in the air, and as soon as the plane goes quick enough, it passes through that barrier. And that's just what this looked like. And I think that's incredibly cool to capture a photo like that. But apparently it doesn't take any special sort of camera. Obviously, you'd have to have a good zoom to be able to capture it, but they said any sort of camera with the right high shutter speed would be able to capture a picture like this.
Photos don't work particularly well for the medium of audio, so great job on this, Rob.
Thank you.
I've seen photos like this before. As you know, I'm a big old aeroplane nerd.
You are.
Train nerd. Real just transport nerd, except for buses. Or cars, I suppose.
Never again. It's all about trains. I take a train.
Trains, planes. Trains and planes.
Yeah.
So I think it's an F-18. I think I saw this on the aviation subreddit, which I am a
classic,
big old, you know, big fan of. And I've seen photos like this before, but wow, it does look so incredible when you see breaking the sound barrier.
It really does.
Thank you for sharing this photo.
I mean, anyone out there listening, please feel free to search for Navy fighter jet photograph passing through sound barrier, and it'll probably come up. I would recommend it. It takes a minute out of your day, and it's just pretty cool.
All right, Rob, is that everything? I think we have done everything on the internet now.
We've done everything and anything that's cool on the internet.
All right, well, if that's the case, it is now time for us to end the show. So thank you so much for joining us for this wonderful episode of Interneted. We do hope you've enjoyed it. Internet is hosted, produced, written by Rob Murgatroyd. Robert Murgatroyd, as his email used to say, and me, Michael Bird.
Very formal. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
So thank you for listening, everyone. We release episodes every single week, so make sure you don't miss out on our next episode, and please hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And as always, don't forget to give us a great 5-star rating. And as my saying goes, say it with me, everyone. Ron says, stay cool. Classic me. Absolutely classic me. Thank you for that.
Stay cool. Stay cool. This is what happens, Rob, when you don't pre-read the script.
It's fine. I can wing it. That's a classic saying.
That was good. That was good.
Thank you.
Well, as your classic saying goes, say it together.
Ron says stay cool.
Stay cool.
That went well.
Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. Oh, and Rob and I are taking a well-earned break from the internet and internet.
Pretty much.
So we will be back with you, dear listeners, on the 1st of September. So we'll see you then. Goodbye.
See ya.